So the topic tonight is listening prayer. Obviously, I've been listening to his voice this evening. Relating to God can take many forms, and the Bible gives us some unique examples of how people connected with God in deep and diverse ways. Here are seven well-known but inspiring applications from Scripture to help us see how God likes to move outside of the boxes we put him in. Have you put God in a box? Can he do something on Saturday night or Sunday morning? But the other 166 hours of the week, you say, Well, he's a box breaker. I think we sang that tonight. He's a way maker, a box breaker. See, there's creative moments of interaction which will deepen our inner relationship with him if we will let him move and not keep him confined to what we think. The first one is wrestle with God like Jacob. We're not going to show you scriptures, but you can look up Genesis 32, 22 through 32. This is why it's short. I'm not going to read the Bible to you. Genesis 32, 22 through 32. Can you imagine what this moment was like physically and wrestling with God all night until he received a blessing? Now, you may not believe this, but last century, I was a wrestler. I was one of the little guys. And I was a varsity wrestler from day one. I worked out and worked out and worked out, and the first match came, it was against Fairport. It was a big crowd, it was nighttime. I wasn't the lightest weight, I was the second wrestler. You know, you have 3 2-minute periods. And it was tough. I thought I was getting thrown all over the place, trying to do what I was taught to do. I came off the mat at the end of the match, and I said to the coach, I'm sorry. He said, what are you sorry about? And he said, you won 10-3. I didn't think I had done well. Have you ever wrestled with God and wondered if you did well? Have you ever grabbed a hold of his heart and let him speak to your heart? It's not going to be in front of a cheering crowd. It's going to be in a secret place. For Jacob, it was in a desert in the middle of the night. It was the turning point for Jacob's life, and it brought him into his new identity as Israel. He went from being the jokester, the trickster, wrestling with God, to being the way for the Messiah to come into the earth. Second one is walk with God like Enoch. Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. Can you imagine interacting with God so closely you bypass all human processes? You don't have to think, you don't have to talk, you're just communicating with him one-on-one. You don't even have to die. Enoch never died. He was taken into heaven. What does it take to do that? Can you imagine the conversations they had, Enoch and God? It said God was pleased with him. See, that was the distinction in his life, was he did everything to please God, which meant I have to get out of my stuff. I have to let Father touch my heart. I wonder how his walk with God was so unique. He doesn't want you to be Enoch. He wants you to be you. He wants you to have a passion for him which is so pure, he can speak to you and move you anywhere he desires. Number three, listen in silence like Elijah. We see this in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 13. Elijah expected to hear God in dramatic ways, probably because Elijah was such a dramatic guy. I mean, he did some pretty awesome stuff. He thought maybe he'd hear him through the wind or through the earthquake, or maybe with the fire, or maybe with the downpour of rain. Maybe some of us think that this past May we were about to have another Elijah moment with all the rain that we got, or maybe a Noah moment. See, God spoke to him in a gentle whisper. Don't expect Father to speak to you the same way he speaks to you yesterday, or the same way he speaks to the pastor or the elders or your spouse. He wants to speak to you in a way he knows you hear him. He will turn his face toward you so that if you can't hear, you can read his lips. Number four, bring your brokenness like Hannah. We see this in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 through 18. Maybe you like the whispers, but it's more difficult for you to pour out all of your emotion unto God. Guys, get over yourself. Father made emotions. He expects you to have emotions. Emotions aren't from any place other than Father's heart. Most guys, I think emotions are from the devil. They're not. If Jesus wept, you can show emotion. I just showed you the extent of my Bible memorization. I think that's John 11:35. Hannah poured out her soul before God in deep anguish, longing for a child. Every day, not just when she went to celebrate the feast in the temple, every day she poured out her heart before the Father. When do you pour out your heart before the Father? What is important enough for you to get over yourself and pour out your heart before the Father? Hannah's honest, raw prayer moved God's heart, and she later gave birth to Samuel, who she gave back to God as she had promised him, and then he gave her five other children. When will you allow Father to give you what he's been waiting to give you? Number five. Celebrate God extravagantly like David. Well, here's how most of us worship. I got to stand out here, so sorry for the camera people. Here's how most of us worship. Extravagantly. David worshiped so extravagantly, they took six steps. David was probably my size or a little bit shorter. And then they sacrificed unto the Lord and worshiped. Do you know how long it must have taken them to get from where they were to Mount Moriah with the ark? Extravagant worship. David's worship was so extravagant, his dance before the Lord. Ladies, get more extravagant in your dance before the Lord. I'm talking to the dancers, because Aya knows what I'm talking about. It's not when you're together. I'm speaking to the dancers, and you all can eavesdrop because I'm talking to you too. It's when you are in the secret place by yourself and you dance before him that he will show you moves that will honor him when you're in the public place. And I guess, yes, I am a dancer. David was uninhibited in expressing joy and worship unto the Lord, even to the point of being despised by his wife. Guys, when are you going to dance so that your wife has to wonder what you're up to? You're all looking at me like, say what? It must have been some wild and creative worship on that path from Obed-Edom's house to the temple. Number six, trust like Abraham. Can you imagine Abraham's radical willingness to obey God to the point of offering up his son Isaac? Can you imagine what that must have been like? Waiting until he was 100 to have Father's promise. And then when he was 133, God says, I want you to give me your only son. Do you know where else in Scripture that is in the New Testament? Where Father's only begotten Son gave it all for us. Casey and I know what it feels like to trust God like Abraham. Many of you know our testimony, how on February 4th of 1986, we sat before a prophetic presbytery, and the next day I was leaving to take a huge promotion in Tennessee. Obviously, I didn't go. And we had to give up everything to believe the word of the Lord. Abraham went to a place he didn't know to move in the promises of God that you and I now all walk in through Jesus. Casey and I stayed in a place we did know and didn't go to honor him in the things he is asking us to do. That was 39 years ago. We've never thought we could do all of the things Father has had us do around the world. If we had gone back, it wouldn't have happened. Can you trust Abraham, like trust God like Abraham, when he nudges you to do something, even though it feels risky? Dynamic Christianity is not risk adverse. The heroes in Scripture, men and women, were not risk averse. They trusted when they heard the voice of the Lord, he was going to do what he said. And number seven, you see this in Numbers 22, 21 through 35. Pay more attention to creation and the animals around you. How many of you do a little farming? Pay attention to your animals. Do not be unaware like Balaam was. You know, Balaam was just la-di-da, I'm going off, I'm going on my path. Three times his donkey tried to save Balaam from the angel of the Lord that was going to kill Balaam. Now, Balaam's probably a lot like me, none of you though. You know, he was sort of slow. The donkey had to speak to him. Do your chickens ever speak to you? I talk to our critters. I don't think they talk back. Are we so confined in the way God moves that he has to have an animal, a mule, speak to us to get our attention? Can you imagine being on the wrong path in life and God has to send a donkey to intervene for you? How much easier would it have been to say, like Samuel did, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. You know, sometimes he sent animals to intervene for us, and I've repented. The animal didn't do so well. Oh, wait, none of you have ever had an accident? God can communicate with you in ways to cut through your blind spots and all of our stubbornness if we will perceive it. He sends angels to us every day. Ask him to open your ears and your eyes. It's New Testament. They're all ministering spirits according to the book of Hebrews. Can you think of other examples in the Bible where God has had a little bit of trouble getting a hold of someone's heart? You probably have your own unique and beautiful stories of how the Lord has intervened in your life. We call those testimonies. You heard a couple of them tonight. You heard a lot of them 2 weeks ago at the celebration of Pentecost. In this season, Father is inviting us to relate to him in fresh and creative ways which will authenticate our journey, our personality, and our circumstances. Father wants you to know who you are in him every place he sends you. Not just in your family, not just in your church community. Father is doing something in our lifetime in this season. He's unleashing his creativity in you, in each of us. It's flowing through our individual chemistry and the chemistry of the community we know as the body of believers, not just here, but in the greater Rochester region and all over. And as we allow him to make us to be who he created us to be, he ain't done with me yet, then we're going to be world changers. In Jesus' name, I speak the blessings of the Lord to every creative portion of your being. That includes the dance. As they were dancing, I was thinking, it was last century when I could limberly do that stuff. My brain still thinks I can. My body says, check again, bud. He wants to do creative things through you so the world around you will be drawn to him. I speak the blessing of the Lord, especially to your spirit and your soul, which was designed by our Creator, so you can engage with him and with right community for his purposes and kingdom transformation everywhere he sends you. Allow yourself to be free and receive from Abba Father in a fresh way to co-create with him. There are things yet to be released in the earth that you are his vessels of creativity to release. Let your spirit and soul be unleashed in the creativeness of God for the transformation of the lives around you, the city you live in, the state you live in, and the nations of the earth. That was Jesus' model in Acts 1:8. Your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. Why don't you stand with me? Father, I thank you for your sons and daughters. I thank you you've made each of us unique and peculiar. And Lord, I release the blessing which you told Moses to tell Aaron to bless all of the people with. Father, I release your blessing over your sons and daughters so they can go and be your canvas and your clay everywhere you desire to create anew through them. I say the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you. So when you speak with him, you see his eyes and you know his ears are attentive to your voice. And may he fill you with his shalom, his provision, his protection, his salvation, and his peace. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you all. Have a blessed week.